Father, we just bless your name. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, that the word is alive and it's sharp, Father God. Thank you that it's cutting to the quick, Lord. We want to get down to the basics, Father, tonight. We thank you that your word is powerful and it's alive, God. It's about to do some miraculous things in our midst. Father, I come against any negativity in this place. I come against, oh God, religious spirits. Father, I bind up, oh God, any kind of intruding thoughts that are trying to come and destroy, Father God, and wear down the saints tonight, Lord. I pray, God, that everybody be lifted up in the presence of God. I thank you, Lord, that there would be a lifting of their soul. Hallelujah. And there would be a liberty and freedom in this place, Jesus, because we have been saved. We've been set free by the power of God. Now, Lord, we bless this church. We bless Oak River Church. We thank you that we're in this facility. And we say, Lord, every need that they have is met. I thank you, God, that they have more to put up in store. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that they are increasing. And I thank you for their hospitality toward us. Bless the eldership, the leadership. Bless the congregation, God. And we just thank you, Lord, that they are over and above all that they could ever think or ask. We bless you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. We even have coffee out there. Do you believe that? I mean, like, this is hooked up. My daughter April, she's working with the children's ministry. She said, hey, Dad, let them know I still need some men to help out in the boys program. Now, we have a Royal Rangers program. If you're not familiar with that, it's basically like a Boy Scout camping deal. So if you want to help with that, guys, see my daughter April. She's the real tall one, the blonde hair. And then we have a missionette type program for the girls. We have youth ministry that's happening over here as well. We got a youth room. We're just all hooked up. I mean, it's like a real church. I mean, it's pretty cool. All right, let's get to the word tonight. You ready? Matthew chapter 6. Look at verses 5 to 9. This word is really, really strong. So I just want to kind of put the disclaimer like Patrick and Jackie did before they sang. I need to give you a little disclaimer on this message because it might rock your boat. But that's all right. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, look at verses 5 to 9. And when you pray, Jesus teaching, it's in red. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, this is key because Jesus was teaching his disciples and he said, when you pray, pray to your Father. He said that over again, your Father. And then he tells them how to engage in prayer. And he said, when you're going to pray, here's what I want you to say, our Father. Now, don't miss that point because that's a powerful point. What he was actually saying was this. He says, essentially, my Father and your Father are the same Father. Now, when you get a revelation of that, all hell will begin to react to the mentality that you adopt, thinking that you have God as your Father. Because if you claim him to be your Father, like Jesus claimed him to be his Father, you essentially are saying what Jesus said. I and the Father, we're one. And the devil doesn't like the fact that you are one with the Father. Now, I want to look at this for a couple of minutes tonight because I think the most powerful message that Jesus preached was that of identification. Was the message of identification. You can bring my sound down a little bit because I don't need quite as much volume. But identifying with the fact that he's my Father. And I sang a little song to Jenna on the way in tonight. Tina and I were singing in the car. It's an old song. We learned it probably 30 years ago. And it's a simple song about I know that God is going to fix it for me. I've got confidence. God is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, my God is going to fix it for me. Now, when you begin to understand that, church, and you get that mentality that you have a Father that loves you, there is absolutely nothing that you have to fear. Because we have a good God. So I want us to look at this tonight. Go over to John chapter 10 and verse 30. Because this is what Jesus said. He said, I and my Father are one. You know, the religious people hated to hear that. They were like, what do you think? Who do you think you are? You, Father, are one. That has no way. Because as soon as he said that, hell reacted. Look at the next verse in verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. The moment he identified himself with his Father, they responded to pick up stones and destroy him. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, when you and I identify as being one with the Father, don't think it's strange that all hell will begin to break loose. And I like that terminology, and I've said it many times before. Thank God it's breaking loose. That means it's falling apart. That means it's coming off. That means it's breaking down. It's all right if you're in a situation where it's breaking loose. You got to get that in your spirit. Don't think that you're in trouble just because you've got trouble. I'm never in trouble when I'm in the Father. It's just hell's reaction to my relationship with him. There's another situation in the Bible. It's in John chapter 5 and verse 17. How to give a devil a bad day. Let's do that. You want to? You know, he's always trying to give you one. But Jesus answered and said, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Now hold that verse up there for a minute, because understand the key word, working. My Father's been working, and I have been working. Basically, Jesus was saying this, whatever he's doing, I'm doing. I'm working the same works he's working. And suddenly, because Jesus was engaged in manifesting the kingdom, the response of the devil was in verse 18. It produced a bad day in his life. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, don't jump to conclusion and say, well, the preacher's trying to say we're gods. Okay? But I'm saying this. Jesus is my elder brother, and God is my Father. I come from the stock of God. And you and I have to understand who we are, because the enemy will do all he can to try to get you a mentality developed in your life that you are just a sinner trying to be saved, living good, trying to make it through on the earth. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. You got to understand something. You were born again. You were cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Don't you start calling yourself common when God said you're not. You're an uncommon believer. We looked at that, and we'll look at it again in just a minute, because that's the religious mentality that just says you are average, you are ordinary, you are common. That's no definition in the Bible at all about a born-again believer. That when the Holy Spirit took residence in you, it was no longer you that started living, but Christ that lives in you. Hallelujah. And the life you now live, you live by what? Faith in what? The Son of God who gave himself up for you. See, we have a life that is with distinction. With distinction. Watch this. Our identification with the Father gives us a divine distinction in our life. A divine distinction in our life. Here's that scripture, Acts 10 and verse 15. We mentioned it Sunday. I wanted to bring it back because we have just touched on it, you know, and so easily we can forget it. Because Peter was getting a revelation from God about a call on his life. Did you know that Peter never ate anything unclean ever? Did you know Peter kept the letter of the law? Did you know Peter would not break the commandments? He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. But the Bible says a voice came to him again the second time and said, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." In other words, when he saw the sheet of unclean animals coming down and God said, "Kill and eat," Peter's response was, "There's no way that I can do that. You have got to understand something, God. I've never done that. I have towed the line. I am a Hebrew." And God said, "Listen to me. Don't you call unclean what I've called clean. Don't you call common what I have called uncommon." Here it is. Not distinguished by superior or noteworthy characteristics, average, of no special quality, mediocre, or inferior. That's 90% of the body of Christ's thinking. We have been told we are not distinguished. We're not superior. We're not noteworthy. We don't have characteristics of awesome power. We're average. We have no special qualities. We're mediocre. We're just a sinner being saved, trying to get to heaven. Wrong. God said, "Don't you call common what I've called uncommon. If you've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, then there needs to be a paradigm shift in your life." Watch what happened to Peter. Peter had to have a paradigm shift. What is a paradigm? It's a philosophical or theoretical framework. A paradigm is a philosophical or theoretical framework. That framework is what causes your belief system in your life. It's what you believe about what you see and experience and feel every day of your life. It's a paradigm. But Peter had to have a shift from his philosophical and theoretical framework and build a new one. And that was, Gentiles were now considered to be clean by the blood of the Lamb. And this did not cause one small stir. It brought division among the Jewish believers when they heard that Gentiles were getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't like it. It's sort of like back in the 70s in the Jesus movement. I go back that far. And I remember the Jesus freaks coming into the churches. The churches that wore the ties and the heels and the dresses and the choir robes. And they looked so prim and they looked so proper. And here people were walking in wrapped up in an American flag with tattoos. Oh, heaven forbid. It was a paradigm shift. And so if we're going to operate in a divine distinction, we have to have a paradigm shift. That the Father and I have become one in Jesus. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Man, I used to love to sing that song. God be for me, who can be against me? Who can be against me? Who can be against me? If God be for me, who can be against me? I forget the rest of it. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get a different thought pattern about who we are. Building our confidence. Like I said last Sunday, our case, our situation is different. I'm not like every other patient. I'm not like everybody else's client. I'm not like an ordinary patron when I walk into a store. I have a divine distinction about my life because I'm working the same works that he's doing. I'm engaged in a kingdom of which Christ is Lord. So as we begin to unfold the truth in the scripture, we find that God has so much for us that has to be discovered. I mean, think about this. Until Peter had that paradigm shift, his ministry was limited. The Gentiles were waiting to be saved, man. Think about it. There were thousands and millions of Gentiles waiting to be saved. But Peter, until he had the paradigm shift, they would never hear a sermon. But once he had the paradigm shift, once his framework, once his core belief system shifted, suddenly the whole world was blessed. Whew. Let me ask this question about the church. When we get this paradigm shift about who we are in Christ, that we are one with the Father, what is waiting for us to come into this realization that today is not in liberty or freedom? But when you and I, like Peter, make this adjustment, we go knocking on the door to Cornelius' house. Hi, Cornelius. That's Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius said, oh, glory, I feel the anointing. Hi, Peter, come on in. And he began to preach to him there at Caesarea by the sea. I've stood there. I stood right there at Caesarea where Peter knocked on the door of Cornelius' house. He said, there's a memorial that has gone up before you as you've given to the poor and paid alms. God spoke to me while I was in waiting for lunch. I was waiting and God gave me a vision. And he said, Peter, you need to start thinking differently because your thoughts are limiting your ministry. Hear me, church. Our thinking is limiting our ministry and our power in this region. It's what we believe. So Peter's preaching to them, and they get saved. And then what happens? Watch out. They got the Holy Spirit. They sure did. They had a Holy Ghost service. Isn't it interesting? When news got back to Jerusalem, I don't know if we can handle this. I don't know if we can handle these Gentiles getting saved and getting filled with the Holy Spirit. We better have a meeting. Let's have a meeting and determine what they have to do to be saved. And here's what they did. They said, well, they're going to have to do this, and they're going to have to do that, and they're going to have to be circumcised, and they're going to have to, you know, keep this part of the law. We understand they're saved, but they had a problem because they hadn't changed their paradigm. And it started to throw stones at the divine distinction of the Gentile. Do you follow what I'm saying? And suddenly now the Holy Ghost was not moving. And James the elder at the church in Jerusalem finally said, look, just tell them no need any blood. I said, okay, I won't do that. And just give to the poor. But we believe that if it's the same Holy Ghost that fell on us, that fell on them, then they're just as saved as we are. Can I tell you, church? You better get ready for what's coming down the highway in Cleveland, Ohio. Because it's not going to be ordinary. It's not going to be church as usual. It's not going to be in a little box contained into what we think is a church. God, by His Spirit, has a paradigm on the earth that's shifting. And He's finding people who believe that God can give a divine distinction. And they're coming. They're coming. And when they come, they won't look like you. They won't act like you. They're coming. Huh? Come on, they're coming. Patrick, they're coming. I know it. Every time I hear you sing, you emblazon my passion again for them. They're coming. And we have to have a mentality that says, come on, be a part. So these decisions flow from our core belief system. We need to think it. We need to declare it. And we need to believe it. Now look at John chapter 5. I won't keep you long. 19 to verse 27. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. Oh, we got to get that one down. We think it's because we show up in a building we call a church, listen to music we call worship, that we can do something by ourselves. But what he sees the Father do. What are you seeing the Father do? Not the pastor. Not your denomination. Not your history. Not your tradition. Not your religion. What are you seeing the Father do? See, in order to watch what the Father does, you've got to become one with him. You've got to get close to him. Jesus, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Next verse. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. How many know greater works is on the horizon? Greater works. During that worship time, greater works, signs, wonders, and miracles, Amanda. You were calling them down. They are living in the atmosphere waiting for someone to receive them. Someone to believe in them. Someone to hold on to them. Someone to have a paradigm shift that God still heals, saves, delivers in this hour. Just like he did in that hour. That God still fills with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People still speak with other tongues. Prophesy words of wisdom and knowledge. God just looking for somebody that believes it. Oh, glory to God. Next verse. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. This is powerful. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. God's looking for a voice. God's looking for a voice to be heard on the earth. Is it your voice? Of course it is. It is our voice? Of course it is. God's looking for a voice, because as soon as that voice is heard, they who were going and destined for death will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has also granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he's the Son of Man. Now watch. Five simple points. Number one, in verse 19, the value or the virtue or the identification of your oneness with the Father brings, number one, whatever your Father does, you do. Whatever my Father does, I do. Jesus said, I don't do anything of my own accord, but I only speak and I only do what I hear and see the Father do. Church, there's a relationship with God that you've not gotten into yet, that I've not gotten into yet, that we can get divine communication about what he's doing and what he's saying, that we can begin to operate in that and mirror that and walk after that. And this earth will be shaken by that. I still believe in greater signs and wonders shall ye do because I go to my Father. I still believe that. Can I get an amen in here? All right. Now don't go Presbyterian on me. Number two, verse 21. I live the abundant life. Because I and the Father are one, I live the abundant life, church. Abundant life. Doesn't matter what it looks like. I live the abundant life. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus said, have come that they might have life and have it how? More abundantly. I'm telling you, the devil is a liar. He is a liar. He comes in and tries to lie like a dog to you and me. Create circumstances that challenge this truth. Divine distinction about me. No matter what my case may be, I know my God is going to fix it for me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Because his eyes are on the sparrow. Woohoo! And I know he's watching me. Zippity doo da day, man. Bluebird on my shoulder. Say, how you doing? Man, I'm doing great. I heard your house fell over. Yeah. I heard your kids ran away. Yeah. I heard your dog bit you. Don't even know. Yeah. How you doing? Man, I'm doing great. Because I and my Father are one. I've got divine distinction upon the earth. I'm causing hell to break loose all around me. See, some of us have got to break hell loose off of our generational curses. Some of us have got trouble, not of your own, but you've got trouble that's been hanging on. Trouble's just like in your lineage. But it stops here. Come on, you got to draw the line. There's a divine distinction. You may have gotten mama in them, but you can't get me, devil. I just got you to know I've been washed in the blood, and the blood has cleansed me, and I have crossed over from common to uncommon. Man, I love getting up in the morning because God is about to do something great. He doesn't do anything mediocre. How can a great God do something just okay? He's a good God, and he does it great all the time. Number three, verse 24, I live without regret and apart from fear. That's what Jesus was saying. These are the virtues of your identification. I live without regret and apart from fear. I fear nothing. I'll never forget the day when I was first introduced to this concept. We were in a denomination and I was leaving it. Well, they had invited me to leave. But it was mutual. And I started to fear. Angelo, I was fearing I was going to lose everything. Church, salary, reputation, everything. And a guy came to me, a pastor, and he sat down. He said, what's your greatest fear? I said, well, what, 1 through 5, 1 through 10? I mean, how many do you want? And I began to list all of the situations, which basically had its core in money. And I'm going to preach on this Sunday. Financial integrity. Did you know that money is trying to steal eternal life from you? 1 Timothy chapter 6, fight the good fight of faith. I'm bleeding over because I studied in that today. I can't help it, so I better stop right there. But don't miss Sunday. Because money is the root of all evil. Strangling hold on your life. That's why we have to live in financial integrity. Otherwise, it will grab hold of you. One more thing, and then I'll stop. That young servant gave up eternal life for money. Anyway, I don't know how I got there, but I live without regret and apart from fear. Oh, that's what it was. So this pastor said to me, what's your greatest fear? I said, well, if I lose the building, I don't know where I'm going to meet. He said, what if I rented you a building and paid for it? I said, well, I guess I wouldn't have any fear. He goes, okay, consider it done. I said, wow, that's pretty good. I said, well, what about my salary? He said, well, we'll just pay that for 6 months. I forget exactly what he said. You know, he said, we'll take care of you. I said, he said, now what's your greatest fear? I said, I don't have any. I said, this is great. And he said, that's what your heavenly Father said he would do. I will meet all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So why are you fearing? That pastor was Dr. Creflo Dollar. I never had to give it up. We got everything. But he sat down and taught me that I, on this earth, if I can do that, how much your heavenly Father can write the check. Give you a building. Jesus, I didn't know I was going to be here. Here I am in a building. This is powerful. This is wonderful. I bless this building. Didn't even know this building existed. Now I'm in it. Look around. Tell somebody, I'm in it too. Now watch this. What else don't you know exists that you are about to enter? All beyond I could think or ask, all the good things that God has prepared for me. Number three, without fear, without regret. Number four, verse 26, it's no longer I that live. It's not about me anymore. I'm not worried about me. I don't have to be concerned about me. I just have to take care of the Father's business. That's all I've got to do every day of my life, and he'll take care of my business. He is my personal manager. You know, I have an image consultant, Holy Ghost. He tells me what to say, where to go, what to do. He's my publicist. He said, okay, turn, smile. make this appearance. No, don't go over there. He said, that's not a good one for you. You're not going to benefit from that. Stay off that. See, I have a personal publicist. I have a personal manager. I have an advocate. I have an attorney. I don't even have to speak to things I don't want to. I just say, Holy Ghost, you speak. Number 5, verse 27. I have the Father's authority. That's what Jesus was saying. This is the virtues of your new identification. You have the Father's authority. Jesus said in Luke 10 and verse 19, I've given you all authority. So much so that if I call it blessed, it's got to be blessed. That's why when I can lay hands on my wife and I call her blessed, she is blessed. Because I've got the power of blessing. When I bless my children, I bless my children. They are blessed because I have the power to transfer blessing. I have authority. When I bind works on the earth, they've got to be bound. For whatsoever I bind on earth, it shall also be bound where? In heaven. And whatsoever I loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. See, here we are, mediocre Christians. Not noteworthy, not considering that we have divine distinction, just trying to make it through so someday we can get to heaven. No, 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 that's not who you are. That's not who God called you to be. Listen, if I've got God, Elohim, the creator of heaven and earth, living up inside me, how can I be anything but a reflection of his glory? Just remember, it's not you, it's God in you. Just remember. 5 points of distinction. I like 2 Corinthians 13:8. I don't know if you printed that one. Did you print that one for me? Oh, you did. You did. You did. Good. For we can do nothing against the truth. Watch this. Can do nothing against the truth. When you speak in truth, the devil can't do a thing against truth. Truth. For we can do nothing against the truth. But for the truth, when you properly identify with God as your Father, the Father's wisdom will find expression through you. That any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and unbraideth not. God just powerfully infuses us with wisdom. Watch what he says. Jesus spoke this about Jesus in Matthew 13 and 54. He was just going about his father's business. He had come to his own country, taught them in the synagogue, and they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? In his identification of oneness with his father, that's where it came from. In Mark chapter 6, they ask him, who is this man? But we know his brothers. We know his father. We know his mother. He is nobody. He's just a man. And he could do no great miracles there because they couldn't identify with the oneness he had with the Father. Who is Jesus to you? Is he a symbol of religion? Is Jesus just an icon? Is Jesus some kind of religious relationship? What is he to you? He is the way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Into a kingdom of his Christ and of his Lord, of which there is no end. My goodness, I feel like I'm somebody. I feel like God has raised me up to be an expression of his wisdom on the earth. That's exactly what that scripture is saying. His wisdom flowed. When you gave your life to Christ, your whole lineage changed. You've heard people say this before. Well, my father was an alcoholic. My grandfather was an alcoholic. And you know what they say? I'll probably be one too. I was abused, so I abuse. That may be the case, but when the blood of Jesus cleanses you, you become an uncommon agent on the earth. And I don't care what spirit of abuse that was in your lineage, it's got to stop right there. But you got to identify with it, church. There's something happening in this room tonight. God is infusing some people with some truth, and you can't do anything but the truth, you know. The truth is going to prevail. There's a paradigm shift in this room tonight. Some of us are beginning to understand, my goodness, maybe God did make me to be something more than just a churchgoer. Aren't you tired of just going to church? That's all we ever did is just go to church. Turn the lights on, turn the lights off, clean up the carpet, put the carpet back, put the chairs up, turn the sound down, turn the sound up. Have a little coffee, have a little donut. Dude, let's go on a little outing. Let's bring that cross in here, take the cross back. That's all we ever do. No divine distinction, just stuff. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry. Not to manifest stuff in these walls, but when we leave here tonight, and we go into our homes, and we walk up the steps to the bedroom, or when we say goodnight to our children, or when we're confronted with a challenge, we say, I and my Father are one. And I refuse to allow this thing to overpower me. In 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Watch the next verse, and I will be a father to you. I've come out from among them. I'm no longer a part of this world, and neither are you. And I have a father. I have a father. You know, I was reading in the Old Testament. I'm back in Genesis going through the Bible again. I start every, you know, read through a couple times a year. And I'm reading in one of the books, Numbers or something. And it talked about a person that's born out of wedlock can't come into the presence of God for 10 generations. That's under the law. I said, oh God, thank you for grace. Because my mom and dad were married to other people and had an affair, and I was the result of their passion. And I would have been barred from the presence of God. But now I'm a man of distinction. Even half of the family still won't speak to me to this day, but I'm a man of distinction. Think about that. You say, well, I didn't get the job. So what? You're a woman or a man of distinction. You're not measured or defined by others' evaluation of your life or your past, but by your identification with God. Right there, you should just lift your hand and worship Him. You ought to just thank Him for that. Just thank Him right there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that your grace has saved me. Oh, Father, and you have brought me into a new relationship with you. I am so thankful. You see, I've been transplanted into a spiritual world, man. I was pulled up out of a yuck place. I was in a marsh. I was in a desert land. And God said, look at that sorry-looking plant. No, He didn't say that. But I was a sorry-looking plant. And He said, there's no branches on it, no leaves, no fruit, no nothing. But I've got faith that I can make this work. And He grabbed me and plucked me up out of that place and transplanted me into His garden. I was the new kid on the block. Everybody else was flourishing and fruitful. I was scrawny, skinny, maybe one leaf. They all looked at me and said, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. You belong back out in the desert. But every once in a while, the Father, in the cool of the day, would come walking along, and He'd walk right by all the flourishing plants, and He'd come right up to me, and He'd start talking to me. Do you ever talk to a plant? They say they respond when you talk to them. And God spoke to me, and He said, you're the apple of my eye. I've got a plan for you. I know the world has rejected you, and your family even has turned their back on you, but I've got a plan for you. And every time He spoke to me like that, I could feel something growing inside me. It was like something stirring because I heard His voice. Before you know it, I began to flourish in the house of the Lord. I'm speaking to you today. Some of you are scrawny. Some of you don't have a lot of foliage on you. There's not much fruit, but listen, I want to tell you what God says about you. You need to allow that system to begin to flow through your life and bring you into that place of fruitfulness. John 8:44 says this, you are of your father, the devil. He was telling the Pharisees and Sadducees this. This is what He said. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth, but there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That used to be your root system. That used to be the place that you and I lived from. We heard lies and we told lies. Huh? That's what. And the devil's still trying to talk to you. He's still walking in the garden lying. Lying, just like he lied to Adam, just like he lied to Eve, flourishing in the house of God. And he's walking in there and he's saying, "Hath not God said?" God didn't say that, but he was lying. And the devil's been lying to you, "You're not worth it." Lying to you, "You're not of any value." Lying to you, "You do have no purpose." Lying to you, "I'm going to take your children. You're going to die prematurely. That doctor's report is true." Lying to you. But what we've got to do is look beneath the surface. The root system. We're now planted by streams. I'm more committed to what I can't see than what I can see. Come on, somebody. I said I'm more committed to what I can't see, what I can't feel, what I don't see manifest in my life. I'm more committed to that than what I can see, because I know what I can see can change as long as I'm focused on what's beneath the surface. Your root is beneath the surface. Stop being more committed to what's happening around you that you see and you feel and you hear. One quick final illustration this morning. I got a phone call. And it was negative. I mean, it was like super duper negative. And I went, "Oh, man, God, that's tough." He said, "Look to the root, look to the root. You can't just preach this stuff if you don't live it." I said, "I know, but it's easier to preach it." And I just began to repeat what God says about me. I ain't gonna say what they said about me. I'm going to say what God says about me. Because we're walking in the cool of the day. I believe Adam was talking back to God what God was saying to him. "Oh, God, do you really believe that about me? Do you really think I'm that good looking? Oh, God, you're awesome, God. I love you too." I think they were just talking. So I started talking. Went about my business, and I don't know if it was 5 or 6 o'clock. I don't know what time it was. 2 o'clock. No, it's not 5 or 6. We were on the road. 2 o'clock this afternoon. Got another email. They said, "Everything I said this morning, it's not true. It's all fixed." I said, "What do you mean it's all fixed?" It was fixed the moment I focused. Do you hear what I'm saying? I had a choice. I could either keep looking for the fruit or looking to the root. And if I look to the root, Jenna, what's ever in the root's got to come to the tree. And what was in the root when I focused on the root came up into my situation and manifested before the sun went down. Would you like to humor me? Just get your hand and go, "Sunrise, sunset." Huh? Try it one more time. "Sunrise, sunset." Okay, watch this. Here's what God said. "In the time that the sun rises and the sun sets, I'm going to change your situation if you'll focus on the root." Come on, stand up on your feet. Come on, stand up on your feet. Do you believe it with me tonight? Come on, lift your hands up to Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Yes, we do. Sing, worship. Lord, we are hungry. Come on, lock into Jesus. Hey. We are your eyes in the presence of the Lord. Come on, church. And I'm trying to hurry up, but just let me follow the Holy Ghost, because I believe God's saying, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It comes from the root system of your walk with the Father. And tonight you say, preacher, I need some help. I need my pump to be primed. I just need a touch from heaven. And I just want you to invite you to walk out from your seat. Come across the front of this great altar. For God has a way of meeting with people at an altar. Are you aware of that? Yeah, God's always met with people at an altar. So you say tonight, I just need a touch from God. In my family situation, my financial situation, I'm believing that God is going to do a miracle. Just come on up here. There's plenty of room. I want you to come. I want you to come. Come on. Joe, God's going to work a miracle for you. I believe that. You're going to focus on the root and not on the fruit. In Jesus' name. Loose that bondage over his life now. In Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Come on. Reach up and reach out. Reach up and reach out. Tell him you're hungry. Tell him you're thirsty. Tell him you're hungry. Tell him you're thirsty. Elders, I want you to come. Pastor Troy, Tina, Elder Tossie, I want you to lay hands on these folks. And then us who are here, if you need to go, we understand. But just reach a hand out to them. Can you pray with me in the Holy Spirit? Is that all right? Can we do that? Can we believe God for their breakthrough and their miracle? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. In the name of Jesus. Come on, there's desperation up here. There's need up here. But we're connecting. We're agreeing. We're two or three agree. Touching anything, it shall be done. Kim and Angelo, come on, help us. Help us, would you please? Do you mind? Could you help us, please? Mike and B, come on, help us. Father, we release the Spirit of God in this room right now to move and to deliver and to set free and to release people into oneness with you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, throw your hands up in the air. Come on, church. Stay engaged in the Holy Spirit. Surround me, Lord. Come on, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I hear the voice of one calling. I hear the voice of one calling.
Yes, Lord.
He's calling you tonight.
Come on, church. Addiction is not your father. Rejection is not your father. Come on. Lack is not your father. Your father is in heaven. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray, our Father. Our Father. Come on, I just want you to say it to him. My Father. My Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. My Father. Ooh, thank you, Lord. My Father. My Father. My Father.
We worship you. Jesus. We worship you.
Jesus. My Father.
We give you all the glory. We worship you, we give you the praise, we worship.
Sometimes you just have to soak in the presence of the Lord and let God begin to speak to you about your situation. That's right. That's right. That's what we're going to do. Just soak in your presence, Lord.
We worship you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. 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 Come on, just release it to the Lord. Just release it. Say, Father, I give it to you. I know it's no longer I that live. I'm not living in regret. I'm not living in fear. I know you're a good Father. Thank you, Lord. Come on, bring your children before the Lord as well. Just bring your children, bring your family before the Lord and say, Father, I give them to you tonight. I say, Father, they are your children. They are your family. Oh, we worship you and we magnify your name, Lord. We bless your holy name, Lord. Glorify your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be exalted in this room tonight, Father. And Lord, as we prepare to move from this location, we'll never move from our relationship. For your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the power. Come on, say, mine is the power. Come on, thine is the kingdom. Say with me, mine is the kingdom. Come on, you got to get this in your spirit. Come on, thine is the kingdom. Mine is the kingdom. Thine is the glory. Mine is the glory. Because I and the Father are one. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God is the Lord.
Worship the Lord. So tonight, we wanted to say this before we go. We want to leave this facility as clean, if not cleaner, than the way we found it. So I need everybody's help. Straighten the chairs, pick up any kind of papers. I want when the Oak River Church come in, they say, wow, is anybody even here? We need some help in the restrooms. Wipe them down. Just wipe the chrome off. Let me tell you something about Dr. Lester Sumrall. You know what Dr. Sumrall showed me once? We went into the restroom before a church service. Here's a man of faith, traveled all over the world. He said, when you go into a restroom, never leave it the way you find it. This man of God went in there, wiped out the sink that he used, wiped down the chrome, and cleaned the mirror off before he left that restroom. I said, look, Dr. Sumrall, you need to teach that at church. People throw stuff on the ground. We don't want to do that. It's the house of the Lord, dedicated to Jesus. So if you can help us with that, our children's ministry, we just want to clean everything up so that it looks real good. But you all live right, love everybody, pray hard. See you Sunday morning. All right? God bless you. Thanks for being here on our inaugural service. Nice to have you here.